Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. This is from the New International Version. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a drop of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
Morning.
Good
morning. Man, it goes quick. I'm looking at the bulletin and I'm checking stuff off until it gets to my name, and got here pretty fast today. I got this cool little gadget for my birthday not too long ago, just for these reasons, to give messages. So today is the first time I will be using it. So if you see me look down and refer to it this, it's because that's where all my notes are. Be excellent to each other. Now that statement alone has the power to change the world. Spoken in the 1989 goofball movie about two high school slackers, Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, who learned that just by being excellent to each other had a profound ripple effect. Now, I would like to share with you a poem about a not-so-excellent time in humanity. Now, background on this poem, it showed up at my kitchen table for review one evening, just before dinner, and as I read through it, it quickly became the inspiration for today's message. And when I release the author's name, I think most of you will know who that person is. Breadcrumbs, written by Christian Miller. Things are changing really fast for us inside this cruel world. The past is long gone, and we have to know this. We are no longer free to do as we please. People are dying, thousands by thousands. But what else can you do when you have to eat breadcrumbs to survive? It is hell here in the annex. Nobody is the same. And nobody will ever be the same again. The poor children, oh, the poor children. The green police stole their dreams away, stole their time to play. I hate this treacherous war, oh, so much. It's cold like the face of a stone. The sky cries here and there, but the green police don't even care. God, we ask for your blessings for this town and for the people all around. Just stop this war so the sky won't cry anymore. We ask this in your name. Amen. All we do is pray that this era will soon go away. We all suffer night through day, but nobody cares anyway. Now, this poem was written as a reflection of the Holocaust, a dark time in humanity, and the poem ends with the line, "Nobody cares anyway." Now, we as Christians are taught to love on a level that's completely incomprehensible to those who do not know Christ. We should all take offense to the statement, "Nobody cares." But the reality of the time was hopeless, and it was really dark. You see, we are all influenced by love. God is love. When we give love unconditionally, those around us witness a different set of behaviors from what they see around the world that's motivated by personal gain. The motive of love comes from the heart. When we get our hearts right, we get our actions right. So accept Jesus into your heart and start being excellent to each other today. And have you ever questioned whether your act of kindness was too small or insignificant to really affect any kind of impactful change? Yet in that moment, you recognize the truth of Mother Teresa's words. She says this, "We cannot do great things, only small things with great love." Now, I brought a video today, and I want you to pay close attention as you watch it to the subtitles, because you'll get lost. It's in a different language, so try not to get caught watching the video without reading underneath to kind of find out what's going on. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Now in the video, we witness an act of kindness that had a profound ripple effect. The love of Jesus presented itself through the little boy as he was shown compassion and given what he needed to help his sick mother. An act of kindness that seemed small at the time, but it was done with great love and resulted in great things, as the young boy became a doctor, helping to heal the sick, and he never forgot the kindness and love that was shown to him, as evidenced in the video. In Matthew 10:42, read not too long ago by Norm, Jesus speaks of a sharing a cup of water. Now, he isn't speaking of just sharing a drink with someone. He's talking about sharing ourselves, which is the practicality of a Christian life. It's a life full of relationships, both with God and with others. He's talking about the humble act of giving a piece of ourselves to someone else. He's talking about sharing in practical ways, not just in abstract terms. Sometimes thinking outside of the box to help someone else can grant the greatest of rewards. Sometimes caring for others is more important than caring for ourselves. Now, today's message is about servant leadership and kindness towards others. Showing God's love through the little things, the simplest acts, can have impacts far beyond any of our wildest dreams. I don't think that when that man gave that little boy medicine for his mother, in his wildest dreams, that young boy would turn out to be a doctor, not only possibly saving his life, but also easing the financial burden in the process. Now, acts of kindness can be contagious. These extraordinary situations, they don't come along every day. But every day, there is a situation that a simple act of kindness can help with. Now, I'm going to ad-lib here, just because this happened last night. I hope I don't lose my spot. Last night, we were coming home from a camping trip, 10:30, somewhere in that range. And we were coming through Millsboro, and I always stop at Wawa. If there's a Wawa, I'm there. So we stopped in, and I grabbed my normal tasty cakes and coffee. And as I get to the register, now I noticed a lady in the back in a Navy uniform, and it kind of caught me. I noticed it because the Navy, we called them BDUs, but their camos were like a bluish color. And it was really cool looking. I really was attractive. So I looked at that, because me being in the Army, we had to wear the ugly green stuff. So I was pretty impressed by that. And I got to the register. I didn't think much of it. I got to the register, and there's a lady in front of me. And she says to the cashier, there's a young lady in a Navy uniform in the back. She has a 20-ounce coffee. I'd like to buy it for her. And I thought, wow, God wanted me to see this tonight, before I show up tomorrow. Now, we've all probably witnessed something along the lines, or maybe even participated in that. And actually, the lady came running back because she, at the last minute, noticed she had a 24-ounce coffee instead of 20-ounce coffee, so she gave the extra quarter to cover the difference because she didn't want any repercussions on the cost of the coffee. But as I saw that, it was just further cemented in me that this was the right message for today, and that God was pleased that we were bringing this word this morning. So you see, there are opportunities all around us to show God's love through us. Once again, these acts don't need to be complex. These acts don't have to be extraordinary. They can be normal, everyday events. Cup of coffee. No matter how simple or complex, no matter how ordinary or unique, we always have the opportunity to show the love of Christ through simple acts of kindness and service. Service based on showing God's love through us. It's just that simple. Let God's love shine through you, and the acts of kindness, they'll never cease. They'll always be there. The simple service is not based on who we are, but who Jesus is in us. God loves us in so many ways. He feeds us, He clothes us, and provides for our physical needs. He also gives us strength when times are tough, and He comforts us when we experience loss. He's there when we succeed, and He's there when we fail. He shows this unprecedented love through the sacrifice of His Son for us. His grace, our reward. Now, a servant leader demonstrates empathy, warmth, and affection. And when this is done, it leaves something new and different inside each and every one of us. This exemplifies what servant leadership is about. Now, most of us know who Tom Brady is. He's the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He's a 3-time Super Bowl champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP. Now, after one of their... Let me preface this story. This was shared by someone else in a faith situation, so I want to believe that since it's already passed through the lips of someone else in relationship to sharing the Word of God, that it has some validity to it. I, in fact, could not find the validity to it, so I'm really just going out on a limb that when this was spoken by someone else, it was the truth. Now, Tom is riding in a ticker tape parade after one of his Super Bowl victories, and people are cheering loudly, millions of people along the streets, there's streams of confetti falling, noise, happiness, celebration all around. Before the parade ends, Tom gets off of the float, and he asks someone to take him to the slums of Boston. He asks for a sponge and a mop, and he starts scrubbing dirty toilets in the housing projects in Boston. He humbles himself as a servant. The people who live in the places where Tom is scrubbing these toilets, they come over to him, they can't believe it. They're kind of belligerent to him. What do you think you're doing? Why are you here? You don't belong here. We know who you are. You know who you are. Get out of here. This isn't the place for you. But Tom takes the abuse and he keeps scrubbing. You see, servanthood isn't reserved for those who are skilled or gifted. It's the duty of all Christians. It's the duty of all Christians, every one of us. It's our duty to serve. Matthew 20:28 tells us, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus serves as our role model when it comes to servant leadership. Christians, we need to count the cost of this position because the price of leadership is sacrificial. It requires laying down your life for the people you are leading, which means all personal glory must be set aside to serve. Jesus knew that love and leadership would lead to sacrifice. His love led him to die in our place. Now that is real sacrifice. Christ-like servant leadership means considering the needs of others before your own, seeking their good, encouraging their growth in their relationship with God. It means trying to treat others the way that God has treated you. Now, as a Christian, give careful consideration to your own life. Is your life one that others would choose to imitate? Now, if I had my son with me in the line at Wawa, but he was at work that night, actually, or he was home, but he was working that evening, didn't go with us, I would hope that what he saw with that young lady, that lady did for the young soldier, Navy lady, that he would want to imitate what he saw, that she was leading a life through Christ, that he witnessed that act, and he would want to carry it on. Pastor David Roper says this about serving others: whatever our position of leadership, we will never lose it if we lose ourselves for others. Service that cares for others is the basis of true greatness. Now, the Last Supper before Jesus' bloody death on the cross, Jesus took out a basin and he washed the dirty, stinky feet of the disciples. The same disciples who just prior to that were arguing with each other about who was going to have the most prestige. And Jesus demonstrated to them not the world's definition of success and not the world's definition of leadership, but God's definition. There's only one way. If you're going to be great, you have to be servant to all. God says, for those who follow me, we don't live by the world system. For those who are bragging, proud, and wanting people to fall down and look up to them, there is no place for that in the kingdom of God. True servanthood is washing the feet. And even Peter, after Jesus washed his feet, Peter said, no, you don't have to wash my feet. You see, they wanted Jesus to be an almighty superhero Messiah who comes in and dominates the Roman Empire, starts strutting around, puffing his chest out, holding his head high, and says, yep, we just kicked their tails. But that's not how our Jesus does it. He says, you're going to be a servant, and you're going to wash feet, and you're going to get underneath the people, and you're going to lead from underneath, and you're going to lift up people. You're going to get down with people. You're going to go to the housing projects, and you're going to scrub the dirty toilets. And that is what leadership is. Be a servant leader. A humble servant. Ask God to help. Be excellent to each other. Do good for one another. Remember, no matter how small or insignificant you may think your act of kindness is, we are all commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. And a little goes a long way. Just ask the man in the video that we watched earlier. The minimal cost of pain medicine and veggie soup, coupled with the loving heart of Jesus, saved his life and eased the financial burden of health care. Let us never fall into an error described by the poem Breadcrumbs. Take offense when people think no one cares. Take offense to that, because that's not Christian behavior. We are here to serve, to love, and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.